Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be taking a listen in on the conversation between Mercator Advisor Group's Director of the Credit Advisory Service, Brian Riley, and Alan Pettis, the Executive Vice President and Chief Customer Officer of Issuer Solutions at TSYS. During the conversation, they talk about the importance of good customer service, how technology has changed the industry over the past years, and the challenges and opportunities of partnering with fintech organizations. So without any further ado, let's listen in.
Hello, and welcome to our session today. Today's call is with Alan Pettis, who's a 32-year veteran at TSYS. Now, I'll tell you, Alan, I've been around the card world for a while myself, and I've been at TSYS over the years several times, and one of my big memories there is one of the original machines that is in the lobby of the building. And that always brings a good chord and really gives a perspective on the depth of TSYS in the cards business. But I'd like to start with asking you, you know, what have you seen over the last 32 years in the business, and how do you think things are evolving?
I'll be glad to do that. I, as you said, have been here for quite some time and have had the opportunity to work in many areas at TSYS. I actually started out as a machine operator, although I didn't run the machine that you saw in our lobby. That's a little bit before my time, but not that much before my time. But I have worked, running a machine. I've run our output services area, which was the area that does all of our statement and card production. I've been in the commercial card arena. I've managed our large clients. I've had affiliate operations where I've managed things like our loyalty business and our legacy prepaid business. And then I've moved over and been in the client-facing business for many, many years. And today I am the Chief Customer Officer at TSYS, and I manage all of the business functions and client-facing functions worldwide. So I handle all of our client relationships. And I'll tell you, over the years, what I've seen at TSYS is a lot of changes as it relates to technology and process and the way we do things. But one thing that's been steadfast at TSYS is our dedication to superior client service. And over the years, that's taken different shapes. I can remember when I started, we didn't really even know what an SLA or a KPI was. We didn't have a lot of service level agreements, but through the years we've matured, gotten those, and then from there have gone to more of a proactive stance with our clients. And today we're working really, really hard at becoming what we call a trusted advisor to our clients. So really getting ahead of those guys, delivering solutions for those guys before they actually ask for them, and really, really working to be proactive and more consultative in our stance. So a lot has changed. We've gone from what you saw in our lobby to today, you know, machines that can actually take a blank piece of plastic, print the logo, print the card, do all the graphics, put the chip in it. But again, our secret sauce has always been our people and our dedication to customer service.
Sure. And that trusted advisor component is really important. And, you know, we hear the word concierge commerce bubbling up, and that certainly has a broad definition to it, but it really falls into several tranches, and things like connectivity and interaction with customers and payments and relevance. What's your spin on that, and how do you think it fits in today's world?
I think it's extremely important. And when I'm dealing with our clients, you know, what we try to remind those folks of, and I use my family as an example. My mother's 70, I'm 50, and my daughter's 20. And we all really like to be handled differently when it comes to customer service. What's important, though, is having the continuity of that customer service throughout those channels. So, again, like you talked about, chat, voice call, text, things like that. I want to be able to continue a conversation and pick up where I left off without having to, you know, provide my credentials again, give my account number again, do things like that. Take the friction out of the process. And that's with anything, whether it's, old school voice customer service or whether it's today, you know, using my daughter as an example. She thinks it's just, you know, atrocious that you have to talk to somebody if you call customer service. She wants to do it all on her phone, you know, just chatting or texting or what have you. So I think it's very important, but people need to really understand the client base and who they deal with. I'll give you an example. recently in my world is I've just moved and I've got a brand new cable provider and I had an issue. And it took me about 20 minutes to get through everything I needed to where I could finally talk with somebody. And that was very frustrating for somebody like me because I didn't want to chat. I didn't want to text. I wanted to talk because it was not a cut and dry conversation in my mind. There was a lot of things that I needed answers for so that I could provide a different question. And it was not a good experience. So I think the better our clients know and the better we enable them to know their client base, the better they can actually create that customer service experience around those particular clients. One experience I had on the opposite side that was really great is I called one of our services here that we use at TSIS and talked for about 5 minutes, got my problem resolved. And when I was done, the lady said, I want you to know you've been recorded the entire time. And from now on, when you call, your voice will be the way we actually, you know who you are and recognize you and authenticate you. And I think that is like, that blew me away. And that's where we need to get, and that's where our customers need to get, where when you hang up, you say, wow, you know, that was a really good experience.
Oh, sure, and that customer experience is essential because that's really why we're here. And can you tell me about life as a TSIS customer and what kind of customer experience you think they'd expect?
Well, and again, I go back, and they expect the same thing out of us that their customers expect out of them. They want consistency. They want to have their problems resolved immediately, and if not, they want updates. We've worked really, really hard on this because I'll tell you, if you go back again in the history of TSIS, like I said, we've always delivered what we consider superior customer service. Well, years ago, that meant being the best firefighter or the best one to react to a certain issue. Today, that is not what our customers want, and that's not what they need. And it's been quite frankly a little bit of a struggle for us, and we've had to really look at our talent to make sure we've got the right people in the right role. We've had to really look at our training. We've had to look at our programs on how we pay and how we incent folks. So we've gone through a lot of that, and I will tell you that our customers are noticing that. We've spent a lot of time surveying these guys. Historically, we would get questions and answers and things that were around, you're not consultative enough, why can't you deliver projects faster? All that tone and tenor has changed. And our recent survey we did with our customers, they came back and said, we really like your roadmaps. We like the direction you're headed. Our client rep now talks more about strategic items rather than things that happened on an SLA report. So really what they're wanting us to do is help them drive their business. And what we've tried to do is explain to our team members that the more we drive our customers' business, the more it drives our TSIS business. So the client experience, again, TSIS is a broad organization, and they deal, or our clients deal with quite a few different inputs and different points of entry into TSIS. And we want to have a seamless experience no matter whether they're dealing with a commercial card or a consumer card, or they're dealing with a loyalty resource or an implementation. We want that client experience to be the same for them across that entire footprint, and that's something we work really, really hard for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But as things evolve and you start expanding the capabilities, kind of get more complicated in the expectations, what do you think is the trickiest element to balance between new payment methods and environments, frictionless customer experience, and so forth?
Well, I had a customer say this to me, and it's really stuck. You know, there are no line items on our bill for security, for reliability, for resiliency. The things that really keep the client's business up and running, we don't really have a line item that we actually bill for those. And quite frankly, that's table stakes. That's like turning on the light switch. You expect the light to work. So you got to balance that, and you got to make sure that as you're going through all of these new technologies and these new experiences, we don't lose focus on the things that make our clients successful and the things that have made TSIS successful. At the end of the day, you can do all the things right, but if you don't authorize the card or the client doesn't get the right experience when they call in, all that's for naught. So we work really hard to balance new and innovative ideas and technologies and services and products with resiliency, stability, security, making sure we're doing all the things we need to do to be reliable for our customers. And quite frankly, that's not always easy, in particular when you introduce, you know, third parties into it where you're bringing in, you know, a fintech or things like that. So we're really evolving on that front, but we're working really hard on that. And utmost of importance to us is being able to deliver a consistent client experience for our customers.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, apart from the in-house innovation and the partnerships you talk about, start looking at how some of the acquisitions have been expanding. And what's been your experience in how the whole vision of the company is changing from, say, where it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago?
Well, I think a lot has changed. And, you know, as you said, we've made some pretty bold acquisitions. You know, when we bought Netspend, that put us in a direct-to-consumer market. So that was something we had never done before. And it's actually helped us in issuing because, one, it's given us another channel and another offering that we can actually provide to our issuing clients. But what it's also done is given us a perspective now of being the provider of firsthand to a consumer financial services. So we get a lot of feedback from our partners at Netspend. We've really grown our acquiring business. And again, almost all of our customers are looking for some sort of an acquiring solution. So we work very closely with our acquiring partners when it comes to our banks and our financial institutions that we deliver services to on the issuing side. Now, what I will tell you from an issuing perspective is that we are really taking a kind of a tact where now we are looking at partnering more with third parties instead of building it on our own. And again, that's tricky because when you bring in these fintechs, you know, they don't have a lot of capital. They don't have a lot of stability. We've got to help prop them up. And then if they do scale, then you have the whole thing around scrutiny as it relates to auditors, as it relates to regulators. All those folks start getting involved as it scales. So we're really working very closely and handpicking who we actually do business with as it relates to these third parties we bring in. And then quite frankly, it's sometimes difficult when the customer, our customer, sees that we're bringing a third party in, and then contractually they want us to stand in the gap and stand behind these guys, and we have to work through that contractually with our customers. So it's a balancing act. Our customers want speed. They want us to get to market fast, but then they also say, but by the way, we want all the ironclad guarantees we get with TSYS with, you know, these small fintech companies that we're bringing in to help accelerate our growth. So we're getting there. We're working really hard with these guys. We got a good message around it. We've had a couple of success stories. You know, most of the time, these folks will tell you they're multi-tenant. What we consider multi-tenant and what they consider multi-tenant sometimes doesn't always match. So we've had those type discussions and we've had those type of issues. But every time we partner with one, we learn something. So we add it to our list. And when we go to the next one, we know to look for it. So it's getting better and better.
Oh, sure. And it's like raising kids. You know, you're known by the company you keep.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Well, Alan, thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, I mean, I would just say, you know, here at TSYS, again, we do all the right things around technology. We do all the right things around our product suites. But, you know, what we pride ourselves on is delivering superior customer service, you know, to our clients. And that's what we built this business on. And I would say you would see us continue to do that on day in, day out basis.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much, Alan.
You're welcome.
That wraps up another episode of the Payments Journal podcast. If you're interested in being part of the podcast, please reach out to us at info@mercatoradvisorgroup.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we look forward to keeping you up to date with the latest payment news.